Kate finally got her breath from the West New York Law Center. But thank you for being here today. My name is Erie County Clerk Michael Kearns. But before I took this position, I was an assemblyman, and I was helped to get the Foreclosure Relief Act passed into law, a law that is there to help fight zombie properties. As you know, I was elected Erie County Clerk. I took office. I was sworn in this room just a couple weeks ago, and I've been working very hard to reach my goal as Erie County Clerk to provide municipalities with earlier detection that a list pendant or a lawsuit has commenced against them. And when I started this position, the one thing I realized is the Erie County Clerk's office receives a lot of information and a lot of data, and I wanted to leverage those resources and leverage the office to help people fight foreclosures before they get to the process of becoming a zombie property. Working collaboratively with our staff in the West New York Law Center, we came up with a new program called the Neighborhood Foreclosure Alert Program, where we will be working with Erie County municipalities to preserve our neighborhoods and prevent foreclosures. That's very important. As I said, the Neighborhood Foreclosure Relief Act, that's after the fact, after someone has vacated the property. We want to work with people while they're still in the property. You may or may not know that the foreclosure process, when someone is going through that process, there is something called a Liz Pendant that is filed, and that begins the lawsuit against the homeowner, who now becomes the defendant. This is a very serious matter, and we decided that this data and this information is so important. The most important thing is accessing this data, giving the municipalities the information in a timely basis and on a weekly basis. So starting on Monday, January 29th, the municipalities will get a weekly update on the foreclosures that have been filed in their municipality. We've been working with the IT department, and they will have access to all of the data, because as many of you know, that many of the municipalities, one street, half the street could be in West Seneca, half the street could be in Buffalo, half the street could be in Buffalo, half the street could be in Cheektowaga, and vice versa. So we know that the Liz Pendant has been filed. We know that this is going to impact Erie County. We have a Erie County foreclosure crisis. We have a New York State foreclosure crisis, but we also have an Erie County crisis. The one thing we are going to be able to do is we are going to be able to give these municipalities the tools to fight this blight. We are going to be reporting directly to them. They will have access through a sign-in to get this information, and we're going to bring Kate up in a few seconds to talk a little bit about the trainings and how the Western New York Law Center is going to help us through this process. The thing that I can say most about this is when we did the Foreclosure Relief Act and when you came to Albany, we need the municipalities to be proactive. We cannot do the work for them, but we can help them monitor their foreclosures in their community. This shared database is very important to make sure that they can have that information readily, that they will know who the plaintiff is, who the bank is. That's very important. When these foreclosures are started, Mike said earlier, the first time they hear about them is in the town hall meetings. For example, in West Seneca, we've been working with the West New York Law Center, and we've reduced their foreclosure and zombie properties by 80%. And I'm very proud of that, and that's working with the West New York Law Center and working with the elected officials of West Seneca. So being proactive, having the data and the information is important. And finally, one of the most important things is working with the person who's been foreclosed upon, working with the homeowner. I sponsored a bill in the New York State Assembly that was adopted into the Foreclosure Relief Act, and it was called Stay in Your Home Bill. As part of this, I am going to be emailing each defendant in the case, each person who has been foreclosed upon, and Kate will talk a little bit about this further. We will email them a letter and the Bill of Rights that was passed in the legislation. People don't want to receive a letter from the bank. They're going through a difficult time. We're hopeful that if we reach out to them, that we could be proactive and we can give them the tools to make a good decision, the homeowners. Remember, under the Foreclosure Relief Act, there is a $500 a day fine, but it does not start until the property has been declared abandoned and vacant. So with that, I'd like to bring Kate Lockhart, who will talk a little bit about some of the things that they're going to do in this partnership with the new program with the Erie County Clerk's Office. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you, County Clerk Kearns. It's going to take me a minute to get used to saying that. Thank you so much for your work on this issue. As you all know, we've been working very closely with then Assemblyman, now County Clerk Mickey Kearns on the issue of zombie foreclosures in particular. But one of the things that we're very excited about in Mickey's new position as the County Clerk is that he has access to an incredible amount of data on the foreclosure process, which may sound really benign and boring to most people. However, getting that information to municipalities in a timely manner can mean a lot of things. One, it can mean that a municipality can monitor where foreclosures are happening within their municipality. So they can target outreach to certain neighborhoods. They can, sometimes a foreclosure is not just an indication of that one family having issues in that area. It could be that there was a job loss that happened across the area in general, and so an indication of one or two or three foreclosures or a clustering of foreclosures could mean that there are more coming or an issue that the municipality needs to be prepared for. And by providing this information on a weekly basis, getting this information to the municipalities, the county clerk's office is really giving municipalities the opportunity to be much more proactive on their foreclosure issue. And as the county clerk mentioned, he's very eager to start doing some outreach to homeowners, which is fantastic. The Law Center, we are a not-for-profit law office. We do foreclosure prevention. That's our main goal is preventing foreclosures in Western New York, and we have free legal services available to people. However, when I do outreach for the Law Center, sometimes there are homeowners that are hesitant to utilize our services because a lot of people are hesitant when you say something is free. Because there are a lot of people out there that are trying to scam homeowners that are desperate to stay in their homes. And so there's a lot of mistrust of people who say they can help when you're in a foreclosure situation. So having the county clerk there to say this is a legitimate resource for you, this is free legal services, I believe we'll be able to reach more homeowners proactively to hopefully avoid situations where the house is ultimately foreclosed on or that it becomes vacant somewhere in the process. So we're hoping not only to avoid more zombie foreclosures, but to keep more families in their home. And one of the other aspects the Law Center is going to be helping with is trainings for municipalities. I believe we discussed quarterly trainings. Yes. That we will be doing here at the County Clerk's Office for municipalities so that they understand the data that they're looking at. So when the county clerk sends them information on Liz Pendens filings, they can look in a document and know what information will be useful to their municipality. For example, who the plaintiff is, looking up who the attorney is that's assigned to that case, because that's often a good contact for a municipality to have to notice them of any violations on the property if it is vacant. And there's a lot of information that municipalities may not have on their own, but we're hoping now that they have access to this data, we give them training, they could be much more proactive on this issue. So we're really looking forward to this partnership. We really think this is going to be a positive step forward for Western New York on dealing with its zombie foreclosures, because it's not just the county clerk doing the work for the municipalities, but the county clerk providing the municipalities with the resources and the training they need to combat this issue.
And additionally, we talked about a hotline.
Yes. Yes. The Law Center will also be staffing a hotline for municipalities to call in with questions about different zombie foreclosures or just the foreclosure process in general. Unfortunately, I don't have the hotline number with me right now, but we will be getting that information to you as soon as possible. But you would contact our main office, and then you could listen to the message. And I believe next week we'll have that up. So our main office line is 716-855-0203, and then you could follow the prompts to the new hotline.
And it's important. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's important to have a partner with the West New York Law Center. And remember, we have resources under the Foreclosure Relief Act, the Department of Financial Services. The banks do have a requirement to report to the state of New York. There is a database that the municipalities can access, but that is, in many instances, months and months away. It could be 8 months to a year before a property is declared vacant and abandoned until they have the responsibility to do that. I met with the superintendent yesterday on a separate issue, and one of the things that we discussed about was in some of the instances that I found and Kay found in their experience, about we talked about having people stay within their home. If someone stays within their home, it saves the bank money, it saves the municipality money. But remember, the banks, once that person leaves, the banks in many instances will pay the taxes to maintain their asset. However, at any point in time, they could discharge the mortgage, meaning they could walk away from the property. And that person doesn't realize they're the owner of record until the property has been auctioned off. So we are encouraging people to make a good decision, to call the hotline, that they have someone that they can talk to. But I'll give you the perfect example that we're going to reach out to different superintendents. In many instances, there are people that are receiving these notifications during the school year. And what is the most important thing? They're concerned about their children. And in many instances, they will leave the property because they are afraid that the kids aren't going to have a place to go to school, that they're not going to be able to remain in the school district. We had one case where the person left the home. They had a legal right to stay in the home. And they went out, they had to get an apartment, they had to put down a deposit. No, you have that opportunity to come up with a plan and a strategy. You have rights under the law. And we're hopeful that if we give the municipalities, we give the people who are having some of these issues time to make good decisions, that we can prevent people from leaving the homes, and we will prevent zombie properties. Finally, one thing we're going to have as this goes on, we are going to have a database that will be second to none. As I said, I don't believe any other clerk in the state of New York is giving municipalities this information. And as time goes on, we will be able to track how many foreclosures that are happening in Erie County. And one of the neat things that will help municipalities is they are going to get the SBL number. They can map out where they're having problems. They could be proactive when you're talking about mapping options for municipalities and for the community. So I think this program is going to be very helpful. We are going to start it. We're having training on January 26th. We are now in the process of reaching out to elected officials to let them know that this process is going to be beginning. And then we're anticipating on January 29th, which I believe is a Monday, we'll be able to start giving them that data, and then we'll go back. They can have access to that data for the month of January. So we're excited, and I think it's going to be a positive program for the community.
How many foreclosures are in process in Erie County right now?
Well, we could say for last year, I know.
Yeah, so as far as new Liz pendants filed, the last couple of years they've been somewhere between 2,000, 2,500, and prior to that about 3,000 at the height of the crisis. But that's new Liz pendants every year, so there could still be pending foreclosures from previous years.
Well, what I was going to ask then is, okay, how many, do you have any idea how many people knew they could stay in their house? And how many have the banks just walked away from, leaving this legal limbo building deteriorating on
lock? Well, I don't know that we have solid numbers on that right now, but I could probably name 6 or 7 houses off the top of my head where we know banks have walked away, stopped paying the taxes, discharged the mortgage, and in most cases didn't notify the homeowner that they had done this. I've personally spoken with multiple homeowners where I call them and tell them, hey, did you know you're still the owner of this and that the bank discharged the lien? There's no mortgage against the house anymore, and they had no idea. We've had situations where homeowners have moved back into the house, so it's no longer vacant. We've had situations where homeowners sell those houses. And we even had a situation, with 290 Germania in South Buffalo where it was investor-owned. He didn't know the bank had walked away, and he donated it to Habitat for Humanity, and it was rehabbed, and now there's a family living in it.
I think the one thing that Kate is saying, there are options for people. We just, Dolores?
Doris.
In West Seneca, 85. How old was Doris?
She's 88.
88 now. I think she started. She's was trying to contact the bank for 5 years. We helped her working with the Western New York Law Center, but the bank discharged the mortgage. And in many instances, there are people that have equity in these homes. They're older people. We had a case in Lackawanna where a woman went into a nursing home, didn't realize she was the owner of record. We worked with the realtor. The mayor of Lackawanna at that time threatened to fine the bank $500 a day. Magically, they discharged the mortgage, and she was able to sell the property. We had a purchaser, and she got a nice little check. So people don't understand that they are still the owner of record. In some instances, going back to my common council days, they're written up for housing court. And they're called into housing court, and they don't realize. They said, well, I was asked to leave the property. And that was one of the reasons why I sponsored the bill called Stay in Your Home. And one of the things I'm proud of, one of my bills that was incorporated into the new Foreclosure Relief Act is the Bill of Rights. So we are actually going to send them that Bill of Rights that they have the right to stay in their home. It outlines what their rights are as a defendant in this case. This is serious stuff. I mean, we know people losing their home, but it impacts their community. You know, one of the things I always say, Mike was kidding around saying I've been on this issue for a long time. The reason why I've been on this issue is you not only buy the home, you buy the neighborhood. And every home, and there is data that shows that every home that is vacant and abandoned within a 1/8 mile radius impacts the values of homes. So you may not have a vacant and abandoned property on your street, but it will impact your community. And I do believe that we have some very good banks. M&T Bank, we've worked with, they have been outstanding. They probably are the gold standard of handling foreclosures. However, you know, there are some banks that are not being proactive. And what I am hopeful is not only are we going to be alerting the municipalities, we will have the data and we will have the proof. I will be able to say, you know, you filed over 500 foreclosures. Why is this happening, bank? Why is this happening, Bank of America? You know, you need to be accountable and responsible. You need to be accountable to our neighborhood. And there is federal law, the Community Reinvestment Act. There is state law. There's a State Community Reinvestment Act. I used to sit on the Housing Committee in the New York State Assembly. So I feel as though working with a great partner and working in this office, I am going to use the weight of this office to eliminate these zombie properties and prevent them. And that is my goal, is to hold banks accountable, to help consumers who are going through a difficult time, and to give access to municipalities information to help prevent this. And we haven't even talked about the investors who want to work with people who want to make a decision on a short sale, the realtors. I mean, this has a problem that is compounding our neighborhoods, but it's an invisible problem that no one sees until we make it available through whether it's shaming the banks or doing some other things.
Ricky, when you send this data out on 29, is this going to be retroactive? I mean, will it
we can do
every
it.
Single in-process foreclosure?
We can go retroactive, but we're going to start slowly. We want to have the training with the Western New York Law Center, and we're going to give them going back the month of January. So it will be retroactive to January 2nd. But as we go along and as we stabilize and as people get more comfortable, we can go back. Yes, we can go back in the process.
Well, what I was wondering is, at what point can you say this property in wherever has been in foreclosure process for 5 years?
And we can find that information out right now.
There must be some ticky around that you can look at a property.
Absolutely. So there are actually two separate elements to the data that the county clerk is talking about. One is that he will be sending, or his staff will be sending, weekly emails of the Liz pendants information, so the new filings. But he's also making available his online clerk system to these municipalities so they could get a login. So the Liz pendants comes with an index number, right, that you can look up. And see all the associated documents. You could click on a mortgage document and look at the links. They link the Liz pendants, so you could see, was there a Liz pendants filed in 2009 that they then canceled and filed a new one in 15, or whatever the case may be. You could sort of follow the history of a mortgage and a property through this data, and that's why we're partnering to do these trainings to make sure that municipalities have the background information, have the knowledge to know to look at these documents and sort of dig into the history of what's happened with these properties, so that they have more information when they go to address a bank about the issues regarding that property.
And you know, we've heard this from people who are on the front lines. Like you said, Mike, they go to a town meeting, and the first thing is someone gets up and says, there's a vacant property next to me. There's a zombie property next to me. The elected official does a good job, calls their person who is in charge of, inspections, the resource officer, and then that person, their first thing is to have to find out what's the history of this property. Who is the owner? Who is responsible for this? Where is this in the process? We are going to eliminate that step because they are going to get that information. And instead of that person having to walk into a town hall meeting or getting a call from a neighbor, before the property is even vacant, before that person, we will know once that lawsuit is commenced that there is a problem, that there is a red flag. And that's why we call it the alert program, because we are alerting them that there is an issue and there is a problem. And we could be proactive, and especially the great work that the Western New York Law Center does. I know the Attorney General has been very proactive on this issue, and much of their funding is received from the Attorney General's office. So I'm going to be reaching out to the Attorney General also, letting him know what we're doing, and this may be something that could be replicated throughout the state. But I do think one of the most important things is the information, the data. Without the information and the data, as Kate said, not only will you be able to access this spreadsheet, this data report, but in addition to that, you could download, we're giving you access to the clerk's office, you can download the actual Liz pendant if you want the physical document, and you can get additional information off this. And we know from our experience that some of the banks are better than other banks, some of the attorneys are better than other attorneys, and we've had to shame them in the past. And I know I created a database out of my assembly office. Now I will be able, 6 months from now, to give you a report, which we will, and to give you data that is current, that is valid, and we'll be able to talk to people and ask them, did you know you have this right under the law to stay in your home? They may not know that. So we're not going to solve the problem overnight, but we're definitely going to be able to be proactive and to detect these issues and problems sooner, and that's going to make a big difference.
Is there a zombie house in every community in every county?
Yes, I would say, yeah, yes. The Maples, was that $1.2 million in Clarence?
I think it was assessed at 1.7.
It was assessed at $1.7 million in Clarence, New York. It was a Bank of America property that we were able, I believe it's taken, it's finally sold, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's sold for. So it could go from $1.7 million assessment. There has not been a community that I've been in that I haven't seen that is not experiencing a zombie property. I know you had a question.
It's just some of the logistics on this program.
Sure. I know it's technical. That's why we're trying.
Yeah, someone, you know, event files a foreclosure. Is someone in the office assigned to gathering that information, documenting?
It's a great question.
How do the logistics on this?
So here is the great thing. This is going to cost the taxpayers zero. There is no new employee being hired to manage this program. What I was able to do my first week I came into office here, I met with our IT department. We talked about it. We got great people. And they basically told me it can't be done. And luckily, it's the end of the year. I started my job 3 weeks earlier, and our software company came in, and who we have a contract with, and I met with them the first day, and they said, we don't think it can be done. It's like no one is doing this. And I said, I didn't ask you if it can be done. I want it done. And that's a big difference you're going to learn from me. I didn't ask you. We're going to find a way to get it done. And the more we researched it and the more we did this, we now have employees who will be entering information in. They will not have to do any additional work. And we will, through their filing of the list pending, through their doing their day-to-day work and operations, we will be able to generate this report. Yes, we'll probably have to assign a person who's currently working to generate the letters to the people, but I'm not hiring any new additional staff to monitor this program. So it's pretty exciting that we went from it couldn't be done to now we're announcing this program that no one is doing throughout the state of New York. And I'm hopeful when I go to Albany in a couple weeks and I meet with my fellow clerks that I'll have an opportunity to at least talk to them and let them know what we're doing here in Erie County.
So the idea is knowledge is power. Right.
That's right.
So, what is it that they can do with this information that can put a dent in this problem?
Well, like I mentioned before, having access to this Liz Pendens information can give the municipality an avenue into a lot more information. It has who the bank that's foreclosing on the house is. It has the information on who the defendants are. So it will also even list what other liens exist on the property. So you can tell by looking at the Liz Pendens, is this property really encumbered with other liens and going to be a huge issue? Are there fewer liens? Is it going to be a little easier to deal with? It will give you information on the attorney that's working on the case for the bank, and that index number can give the municipality access to the other documents that are filed in the foreclosure process. So, for example, they could use the index number to find the affidavit of service. I know these are all technical terms and kind of boring to you guys, but the value of the affidavit of service for the municipality is the homeowner has to be served in a foreclosure action. So the affidavit of service on the homeowner will tell the municipality, was that homeowner served at that house? Are they still occupying that house as far as we can tell? Were they served at another location? Was anybody served at the property? Sometimes the affidavit of service states that the property was vacant at the time of service. So that could give municipalities access to information regarding the status of the house even before DFS, the bank, has identified to the Department of Financial Services whether or not it's a zombie foreclosure.
And what value is there in knowing that early?
Oh my gosh. That could be the difference between someone staying and leaving in a house. This could be the difference between having a zombie property and having someone stay in the home. That's a huge difference. I gave the example earlier about that young family who had children in a school district. That could be the difference between someone staying in and letting the kids finish out the school year and then getting a new apartment. I mean, this is all about decision making from the people who are going through a crisis at that time. We want them to make good decisions, but we want them to know that they have support. If you don't have anywhere to go and you don't know that there's support, remember, this is free legal advice. Whether you make $1 million or a dollar a year, you get this advice from the Western New York Law Center. So this makes all the difference in the world. It's about being proactive. It's about giving them good information. And here's the other thing, too, that really is going to make a difference. And I know it's going to make a difference because I talk to bankers. They don't want bad publicity. They don't want bad press. And we will let you know, just like Santa Claus, there's going to be a nice list and a naughty list. And we are going to let you know who are the good banks. And these are banks that are part of our community. The local banks are pretty good, but still, we are going to be able to give the point of contact, the municipalities, information much, much sooner. And 8 months to a year, especially in a Buffalo winter, if someone leaves their home, and we don't even know if that person, remember, they don't notify the bank that they've left their home. The bank has to determine under the law if the property is vacant and abandoned, and that takes more time. My really estimated, educated guess is that not every bank is complying with the law. Not every bank is reporting to the Department of Financial Services. I guarantee you that there's not 100% compliance. So if there's not 100% compliance, we know that there's vacant properties sitting out in our communities. Bringing down the value of those properties. Remember, if there's a vacant property next door to your house, you can lose your homeowner's insurance. I mean, this is serious stuff. So yes, not to be so reactive to that, but I do think that this is crucial when you're talking about especially people's largest investment, and people say, we just want information. Who owns the house? Who's the bank? Who's responsible for this? And in that instance, working on this issue for almost 12 years, we've learned a little bit along the way. And every time we've been able to put a piece, whether it's the law, whether it's now giving municipalities the data, I think it's helping in the crisis. And we see the results on a daily basis.
One last question from me. I don't know about TV. Given our times, how secure is the computer system of this data?
It's public information. So.
Yeah, but I mean, somebody could go in and tinker with it.
Well, I mean, we always have that issue. I mean, it's one of the things that I'm going to look at as clerk. We want to make sure all our data is secure. I've been here for 3 weeks now. And yes, that is something that I'm always looking at. But we know that the federal government, who has a lot of different securities, information that's national security, hackers have been able to get into that at the national level. So, but the one thing I do know is this is public information. Anyone could come down and walk down to the clerk's office once this has been filed, but we're going to make this much easier. Remember, this is just going to the municipalities. Those are trusted people in government who want that information, and I feel pretty confident that we'll be able to at least have that information pretty secure.
I'm good to go.
Good. Awesome. Well, thank you for coming on this cold day.